In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As I came here, I feel my own smallness and my sinfulness. Can I believe my own sins forgiven? I wish to believe. I shall read according to the old translation from the Bible, from such a book I hope it was the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, 1 through 4. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. I search at night for my bed, which my soul is yearning for. I search thee, but I could not find him. Now I shall arise and go around the city on the streets and alleys, and I will seek which my soul loves. I search for him, but I did not find him. The guards who walked around the city found me. Did you find, have you found what my soul loves? After a while, I found that which loved my soul. I attach myself to him and do not wish to set him down until that day when I shall go in my mother's home, get to reach my mother's home. You are as a whole. You are beautiful, my dear. You have no fault. You are as a fountain, a spring which flows from Lebanon. Amen. Is it not a marvel that this, which was written over 3,000 years ago, is fresh today in the same way as this person in this text search for God's kingdom in the same way? And even today, the person who has awakened from God begins to search for God's kingdom. It has been said that this Song of Solomon should not be part of the Bible. For they are letters of King Solomon to his wife. But what does Luther say? Luther says in this way, that here we are humbled, we are righted, and we are prepared to be justified. And Luther says, continues to say, of the Book of Solomon, that there are some translations, regardless, that you, Solomon, thank God for this, that God has allowed upon this earth his own people, or God's kingdom. And this text that I read speaks very much of God's kingdom. At the beginning of this book, Luther also says, speaks of these, what means. And he explains these, that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and a bride is his congregation, the groom, the bridegroom is God's kingdom. We are taught in the catechism that our Savior, Jesus Christ, and knowing him and becoming a child of God is the most precious matter in our life. And it is so in this way. What does it help a person that he would win the whole world, all the riches, glory, honor, if his soul would be damaged? We must compare this to times, the life of a person and eternity. The Bible speaks of the life of a person that it is like the width of your palm, or in other words, nothing, but eternity will never end. What? What reward is there from living in this, during this time, as they wish, if their soul is damaged? Okay, with this small introduction, we begin to follow this text. For God has called this person and awakened his conscience, and he has gone to seek peace onto his soul. He has got started a search for the kingdom of God here upon this earth. And this searching, and it happens in the same way as today, many people do this. Those who have a distressed soul, let's start following this person who is troubled. He says here in the beginning, I search at night in my bed for that that my soul loves. We understand. We understand that he did not search God's kingdom in his bed. We know it was not under the pillow or under the bed, but we understand that he prayed to God. He prayed unto the Heavenly Father, please forgive my burning sins, the sins that were burning me. This is what he prayed. Prayer is a precious gift unto us from God in heaven. Each one of us have issues that press our minds. There are matters that we cannot, we do not have no effect on. Our weakness, we do not have possibilities to do anything about these issues. Then we pray, and that is the only way. How often mother and fathers carry sorrow on behalf of their children. Children who have left living faith and gone into the world. That condemning finger, which often points at yourself and says that you are such a poor parent, that is why those children have gone into the world. But remember, father and mother, that once there has been a teacher here on this earth that has not been before or after, or shall never be. He was Jesus Christ. But even his disciples, even of his disciples, one went into the world. He became a thief. And in the end, he betrayed his master and savior. So, Father, Mother, stop praying. But righteous prayer means a lot. Often we may feel that does God hear my weak prayer? But God answers. But according to the time of God, it shall be answered. Often a prayer of a parent is answered only after they have been buried. Do not never stop praying, for it is not a one-time deal. But there in heaven, they are preserved in a golden vessel. But this person in this text, he prayed, and now we are before a very important question. That does God give through prayer sins forgiven? We don't have to give our own opinions. In scriptures are the answers. Like in Acts of the Apostle, chapter 10, it is spoken of Cornelius. Cornelius. But I cannot but remember, he was so during the time of the Roman kingdom, he was an officer in a Rome army, and he was taking care of the issues of Rome in Jerusalem or in Israel, and it is said that he was righteous and a God-fearing man, and he always prayed unto God and gave alms. But it does not say he was not righteous or justified. For there are many, many different types of righteous people. And as we read this chapter, he did not pray for that reason. He did not pray for that reason and gave alms that he would receive his sins forgiven. But he prayed for that reason that God would help him find God's kingdom and help him get peace onto his heart. And we remember from the Acts of the Apostle that God heard this prayer. And he sent his angel from heaven onto Cornelius. It's very interesting to read. When his angel of brightness and Cornelius met each other, what did the angel say? The angel said in this way, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been seen before God in heaven. But then the angel continued, and for that reason, but not the angel did not continue, your sins are forgiven unto you, go in peace. But the angel said, in this way, that go and search Peter, or send for Peter. He will speak unto you those words that God wants you to hear. And God and Cornelius was obedient to God's word. Even today, a person who is in unbelief, he must be obedient, obedient to the voice of God. Cornelius was. What else did the angel give unto him? Give unto Cornelius. He gave the address of God's kingdom. And listen, that address was very clear, that the city was Joppa, and the house was Simon Parker's, Barthro's house, and even gave the name of the person. Even today, in this weird world, the kingdom, or the address of the kingdom of God, is very clear. It's not there or here. It's where there are God's children. Peter was one child of God who through grace received his sins forgiven. He was just one proclaimer of the gospel. We remember there in the house of Cornelius, there was very warm services. Cornelius and his whole family received the grace of repentance, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we need another believing person. In the large catechism, we are taught what is the duty of God's kingdom, where is it, and who are they? The work of Christ continues in this world through his kingdom, through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses as a messenger, believing person, and the congregation that is the mother who gives birth and carries each believer unto God with God's word. Now let's talk about this person in our text again. Did he receive the grace of repentance straight from heaven? He himself says in this way, I search at night in my bed. Who searches? But what does he do then? He says, now I shall rise, and I will go around the city, through every street and alley, and will search that which loves my soul. He left through, with his mind searching for God's kingdom. He went to search there where there was beauty. That's where he searched. It comes to my mind what Martin Luther yesterday, someone already mentioned this yesterday, but I hope you don't remember, that you don't remember what they said yesterday, but I have to say it. For Luther, when he was young, studying the law, He walked along the road, and a lightning struck close by, and he went into a coma. And when he came back to reality, he began to think of the reality of life, how one step can change your whole life. And then he went in a monastery. When he thought that there they serve God morning till night and they pray a lot, but this did not help him. He put more steam on. And tortured himself in many ways, and it did not help. But then he thought that when he goes before the highest bishop known in the world at that time, then he shall find God's kingdom. But he was not accepted there. But being more distressed, Luther came back from there. My sins, my great sins, he complained. Even though he probably lived a righteous life, a clean life, but it does not help a person that he lives the life of an angel, that even if the small sins are not forgiven. And God, who seen God, seen Luther, his distress, he arranged it in this way, that this other monk came upon him who had earlier received the grace of repentance. And then Luther received the grace of repentance. Did our person in the text find God's kingdom when he walked around the city? He says himself here, I shall rise and go through the streets and alleys and search for him who loves my soul. I searched for him, but I did not find him. Why did he not find him? There is only one answer, and a very clear answer. He was searching in the wrong places. What did he do then? Did he think that I'm going to give up and not search anymore because he had not found God's kingdom? No, God did not give the possibility, and he himself says, he himself says in this way, the guards who walked around the city found me. Have you seen that loves my soul? Who are these guards? They are you and me, brothers and sisters. A natural God has a uniform. Like in Helsinki, there are guards all over, and they are armed. Do the spiritual guards have a uniform? Yes, we have. We have the cloth of righteousness upon us. We are clothed with the cloth of righteousness. And God has sent us to our own place of watching or guarding. Often, there, the place we are watching or guarding, we may find people there, like these guards found this person. But there's an interesting thing here in our text. What happened when these guards found this person who was searching and in distress? Did they say, be peaceful, do good works, that God will save you? No, they did not do this. A person in our text says in this way, and explains in this way, the guards who walked around the city found me. Hit me and wounded me and the guards on the walls. Took my clothes, the cloth off of me. Does this sound rough? The person in our text heard the sermon of the kingdom, and to an unbeliever, that sermon may be so hard, may be very hard, as Jesus himself said, that from my mouth it shall leave a two-edged dagger. These voices that leave from the dagger, and we can read about in the book of Revelations, but because of time, we are not going to go into these. But this I will say, that voice that a child of God hears from the dagger is as beautiful as a voice of a beautiful instrument. But an unbelieving person, even with great love, such love as we know how, this voice may hit, these words may hit the unbelieving person very hard. Many people are offended and go away, as in Syria. When he heard the words of the prophet, he was offended. He turned his horses and went away. That are not the waters of Barbados much better than the waters of Jordan? I have been to Israel a couple times, and first time when we went over Jordan, the guide, and now we are going over Jordan, I looked. There was a small ditch or small river, a very, very dirty water. And I thought it was a great river. I thought, this is a picture of God's kingdom. How does this world see God's kingdom? They see it as a hut made of sticks of mud. And I'm sure this person in our text seeing God's kingdom in the same way, for he was also offended. Naaman, the Syrian. But now he came back and was able to become a child of God. But this person in our text, he was offended, for he says in this way, I was shocked by these. He did not repent when the guards spoke to him. Often it happens in this way. But he nevertheless received a very important thing from these guards. He knew the address of God's kingdom. And then later, when God did not give peace onto his conscience, he had to go back to God's kingdom. He had to ask grace, the gospel. And what happened? He says it himself here in this way. I found him that loves my soul. Was this not a marvelous matter? He first experienced the hardness of God's kingdom, and then he found the peace onto his conscience and his salvation. And what happened in him? He himself says in this way, I attach myself to him and I will not set it down. Is it not true to you who has received the grace of repentance from the world? It is familiar to you. When you received the grace of repentance, you thought, this is where I want to remain, and this is where I wish to be. You prayed unto God, Dear Heavenly Father, keep me in this faith until the end of my days. And so it seems like this person before us for he says, I want to go into my mother's house, into her room. The mother is God's kingdom throughout the whole Bible. The mother is a picture of God's kingdom throughout the whole Bible. And that's where he wanted to go, like all of us want to go. You remember the merciful Samaritan, when he seen those laying, he bound the wounds and put oil and did not leave them on the road, for there are no single believers or lonely believers, but he brought him into the inn, or in other words, God's kingdom, and gave them pence, grace, and love. With the same, today we are cared for in the same way. And now, this person in our text begins to explain what does God's kingdom look like unto him now that he had received the grace of repentance. He says in this way, you are beautiful as a whole, a change of mind happens after repentance. He received his sins forgiven in his heart due to salvation work of Christ. But what happened now when he's seen God's kingdom in its wholeness? Is it not familiar to you that God's kingdom is such a kingdom that we wish to dwell there? We wish to be there and be preserved there, as this person in this text, and then says in this way, there is no fault in you. What do you think, brothers and sisters? I think from this week and there have come about 80,000 people here to Vaasa, full of fault, people who fall into sin. For that reason, we all come here that we would be refreshed and strengthened in our faith. For we are so under the inherited sin, we need the gospel. We need to hear the gospel. We need to hear the forgiveness of our own sins. He without fault here means that the doctrine of God's kingdom is without fault. This doctrine has been received from heaven, from God. It is not made from people. So in God's kingdom, even during battles and trials, there's always this faultless doctrine. Why? Why would we have to change this doctrine? Why would we have to make it modern? For it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's kingdom is such. And in the end here, it said, because I've ran out of time. I'll read the last verse. You are like a flowing fountain that flows from Lebanon. Is this not a nice picture of God's kingdom? God's kingdom, where the Lord Jesus, through his resurrection, there on Thursday, Maori Thursday, and Good Friday, we were free in this kingdom. We have this free gospel 24 hours a day. Often, we feel our weakness. And now when this is the last service day, and we have been able to be before the living waters here, there has been much to drink, and we have been able to drink as much as we wanted. The enemy of the soul may nevertheless come there in a bench and say, your heart feels dry. Those others are believers, but you feel so dry. Listen, brother and sister, do not listen to the enemy of soul. Listen to our Savior, Jesus Christ, the voice of our Savior. For even now, at this moment, he wishes to bless you with that living gospel. Listen, brother and sister, you can believe, all your sins forgiven. Even the dry hearts and all weaknesses, believe them forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Because I have a couple minutes left, I wish to remember the story about the Red Sea, when the nation of Israel came before the Red Sea, and behind them, coming very fast, was the enemy. Enemy was coming to destroy them. You remember, he who was the last one in the line of the Israelis, He had the greatest distress. He had the shortest steps, and the enemy was coming. And even today, we often think and feel that our steps are so short that where will we reach that destination? But there, at the Red Sea, he who was the weakest and shortest step, and it warmed him the most, even at this moment. Those who feel weak, but everyone can believe, all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. In this way, let us remain under the grace care of our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.